Good morning.
大家早上好。
It is an honor and a challenge to speak to you this morning.
今天能够跟大家来分享主的信息是一个荣幸，也可以说是一个挑战。
The honor comes from knowing that you are preparing for ministry, most of you in your home country.
荣幸呢是说我知道我们大家也都是在这里装备要回到自己的祖国去服侍。
Which has its own challenges.
当然每个国家都有它自己的挑战。
And the challenge for me is not knowing the context into which you will go.
我的困难呢，或者说我的挑战，也就是说不知道你们所要面对的那个情况到底是如何。
But I am grateful for the opportunity to be with you today.
但是我还是非常的感恩，能够今天和大家分享主的信息。
And to honor you for your service to Christ and His church.
也可以说很尊重或者说恭喜大家在这边在装备将来要服侍主。
I was in Beijing last year and enjoyed very much my time there.
去年我到过北京，也非常享受在那边的时间。
As in most major cities I visit, there are certain sites that I wish to see.
当然，就像到世界各个不同的地方，有一些景点我是想去参观的。
When in Beijing, when I asked where their Chinatown was, they just looked at me.
当我在北京，我问他们说：“哎，中国城在哪里？”哦，他们就呆住了。
Like you are looking at me now.
好像你们现在看我一样。
Okay, that was my attempt at humor.
当然这个是故意跟你们讲的一个幽默。Okay.
I know it does not always translate well.
我知道这个不一定能够翻译出来。
So I will try to contain future attempts.
所以我要再继续来讲。
Oh, maybe one more. Okay.
再跟大家分享一个另外一个故事。
I remember the story of the man who was who traveled to work every day by ferry.
有一个人呢，他每天要去做工，要坐这个轮渡。
And one morning, excuse me, he was particularly stressed and running late.
有一个早上呢，他快要迟到了。
He looked at his watch and he determined that if he ran as fast as he could, he might be able to get to the ferry just in time before it left the port.
他看到自己的表一下，知道说如果他能够跑得更快一点，他应该可以赶上这一班的轮渡。
As he ran toward the pier, he saw that the ferry was already 10 feet away from the dock.
当他到这个码头的时候，他就看到这个船呢已经是10尺离开这个岸有10尺。
And panicked that he had missed the boat, with all his might he ran and he leapt as hard as he could and landed with a crash onto the deck of the ferry.
他还是尽量的跑，跑到那边又跳到这个轮船上。
At that point, the captain came up.To him and helped him up.
水手呢也帮助他。
And then the captain said that was quite a spectacular leap.
就对他说，哇，你跳得真不错。
However, if you had waited 10 seconds, we would have been in port and you could have walked on board.
我说，但是如果你再等十秒钟呢，其实我们这个轮渡就到岸，你就可以走上去就好了。
My point being that. Sometimes we're often in a hurry to get things done.
很多时候我们太急性了，要完成一些任务。
And we don't wait with patience on the Lord.
但是我们没有耐心地等候主。
Or take into consideration how He might actually want us to do things.
有时候我们想，哎，神要我们怎么做呢？
We often take matters into our own hands, depending on our own wisdom, our own impatience, and we end up creating something that Jesus never intended.
有些时候我们就靠自己的聪明，用我们自己的方法想完成神的事工，但是这些呢不是我们的主耶稣想要我们如此做的。
An old deacon was leading prayer using one of his stereotypical phrases, which was, O Lord, touch the unsaved with thy finger.
有一次有一个执事，他在这个祷告会中分享的时候，他祷告就是他常常用的这一句话，他说，主啊，用你的指头来摸那个还没信主的。
And as he intoned this phrase in this particular prayer, he stopped short.
但他讲这个常常讲的句话呢，他到一半呢他就停下来了。
Other members came to his side and asked if he were ill.
有一些下面的人就问他，哎，是不是你病了？
No, he replied, but something seemed to say to me, thou art the finger.
他说我不是生病，但是我似乎听到一个声音对我说，你就是那个指头。
It is true that Christ has called us into ministry, the ministry of leading others to Him.
确实，基督呼召我们，就是要我们去带领别人来认识耶稣。
And sometimes God will speak directly to someone, like He did this old gentleman.
很多时候，神也可以说直接感动，像他感动这个执事一样。
But all of us have the words of Christ calling us into this ministry that is recorded in the Word of God.
但是另外一方面，我们也可以说，神对我们每个人的呼召也都记载在他的圣经的话语里面。
And the passage I'm referring to is Matthew 28, 18 to 20, which you just quoted, so I won't read it again.
就是我们刚才已经大家一起背诵的那一段在马太福音大使命的经文。
It's interesting as we read through the Bible that we never come across phrases like soul winning or evangelism.
很多时候我们读圣经的时候，我们回想一下啊，我们没有这些。名词啊，所谓要救灵魂这样的名词，在圣经里面没有的。
Although those are modern terms to describe the process of getting people saved, they are not found in the Bible.
这些专用词可能是现代的语言的表达，来讲到我们如何去带领人信主。
Of course, getting people saved is an important thing that should be a priority of the church.
当然，做教会很重要的一个使命是要让人能够得救。
But the truth is, conversion is only the first step.
但是很多时候我们忘记，其实让人信主只不过是第一步。
When Jesus gave us the statement that we call the Great Commission, what comes to our minds is getting people saved.
很多时候，当我们读到这个主耶稣的大使命的时候，我们的第一个想法就是要叫人得救。
But in actuality, that's only part of what Jesus has commissioned us to do.
但是事实上，这只不过是耶稣大使命的一部分。
If we look closely at what Jesus said, we see that there are three parts to the Great Commission.
如果我们注意看耶稣所说的这个大使命有三个部分。
First, Jesus said to go make disciples.
第一是耶稣说，当你去的时候，你要使万民做我的门徒。
Second, he said to baptize them.
第二步，他说你要为他们施洗。
And third, he said to teach them to obey all things that he commanded us.
第三方面要教导他们遵守我一切所吩咐你们的。
So go make disciples, baptize them, and continue to teach them everything that Jesus commanded us.
所以，当我们去的时候，我们要使人做门徒，为他们施洗，并要教导他们遵守耶稣所教导我们的。
We're not just to convert people.
我们不只是要让人信主。
We're not just to baptize people.
不单单是要为他们施洗。
We are to disciple them.
我们要使他们做门徒。
We are to make disciples.
我们的大使命就要使人能够做耶稣的门徒。
We get them to believe, we baptize them, and we continue to disciple them or teach them.
所以我们帮助他们能够相信，也为他们施洗。我们更要教导他们要遵行主的话。
A disciple is anyone who is a follower of the prescribed teachings of the leader.
一个所谓门徒呢，就是他是跟从某一种的教导。
A disciple of Christ is anyone who is a follower of the teachings of Christ. You and I are disciples.
一个基督的门徒，也就是他要遵守耶稣所教导的。
So according to what Jesus said, we aren't finished when we get people saved.
所以根据耶稣的话。当我们带一个人信主之后，这还没完。
Our real goal is to see men and women, boys and girls, transformed into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ.
我们的目标乃是要看到这些人他们完全的改变，能够像我们的主。
Christ has called us to go make disciples.
基督呼召我们是要去使人做门徒。
And that's what I was asked to speak about today.
这也是今天你们所交给我的这个题目。
The word disciple is basically a New Testament word appearing 268 times in the Gospels and Acts.
选作门徒可以说是新约的一个名词，一共出现了268次特别在这个使徒行传里面。
Jewish and Greek writers prior to Jesus used it to mean one who learned through instruction from another, a pupil.
之前这些犹太人或者说希腊人他们用这个词来表示说我们向一个老师来学习。
But Jesus applied the concept in a unique way.
但是耶稣呢把这个概念呢用在一个很特别的思想上。
Where others expected their followers to grasp their ideas or theology,
所以之前这些做老师的他们预期他们的门徒要抓住他所说的或者他的一些说法。
Jesus' disciples are those who are like him because they were with him.
而耶稣的门徒是那些像基督，因为基督与他们同在。
Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says, When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
所以在使徒行传四章那边有提到，当人看到彼得和其他门徒的时候，他们非常的惊讶因为他们也知道他们很像主，他们常与主同在。
Professor George Ladd said, Discipleship to Jesus was not like discipleship to a Jewish rabbi.
所以拉德这个神学家他有这样说一个拉比的门徒观念跟耶稣的门徒观念不一样。
The rabbis bound themselves to the Torah.
所以拉比呢他们是在讲这个律法就是摩西五经。
Jesus bound his disciples to himself.
但是耶稣呢是把自己跟门徒绑在一起。
The rabbis offered something outside themselves.
所以这个拉比要给他门徒的是一些他身外的事情。
Jesus offered himself alone.
但是耶稣是把他自己给他的门徒。
So discipleship to Jesus involved far more than just following his entourage.
所以呢，作为耶稣的门徒，不仅仅是说就是跟着他走。
It meant nothing less than the complete personal commitment to him. And to his message.
而是要全心全意的委身在他的教导的下面。
And to clarify this passage that we call the Great Commission, allow me to point out that the Greek uses participles somewhat differently than we use them in English, and I have no idea how you use them in your language.
容许我们再回到这个大使命的时候，在希腊文的当中这个马太呢，他用了很多的分词。我不知道说在我们这个自己的语法里面然后有没有这个分词的概念。
But it is impossible to bring the exact Greek nuance into our translations.
因此在翻译当中有时候很难能够完整的来表达作者的原意。
What is important, however, is the sentence in Matthew 28, that it has one main verb, an imperative, one command.
我们知道在原文的当中只有一个单独的一个命令语气的这个动词。
The command is make disciples.
这个动词，这个命令语气的动词，也就是要使人做门徒。
The other verbs are participles.
其他的所谓动词性的词呢，它们都是分词。
And they describe disciple making.
它们是修饰如何或者跟这个做门徒使人做门徒有关系的。
Jesus gives one command, make disciples.
耶稣给我们一个命令，使人做门徒。
The process is as you go.
他的这个过程。
By baptizing.
是说你们当你们去的时候。
And teaching to obey.
为他们施洗，也教导他们要顺服或者遵从。
Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ.
Bonhoeffer 他曾经这样讲，基督教没有门徒培训，就是基督教没有基督。
And Professor Lanier said, all of the gospels stand on the two legs of evangelism and discipleship.
Lanier 也这样讲，我们整个基督教呢也建立在两个角的上面，一个就是传福音，另外一个就是真理的栽培。
To evangelize without discipling is to promote immaturity.
所以如果我们单单传福音而没有教导，那这样呢就是结果是不成熟。
And to disciple without evangelization is to promote hypocrisy and nominal Christianity.
但是我们如果单单所谓栽培门徒，但是没有传福音的话，所带来的就是这个虚伪的一些或者虚假的信徒。
My wife asked me this past week, what do I consider the biggest failure of the church?
这个星期我的太太问我，你认为呢我们现在教会最大的失败是什么呢？
And after some thought, I answered, I believe the biggest failure of the church is in making disciples.
Making disciples.
我
想了一下，我的答案是说，我们现今教会最大的失败就是在使人做门徒这一件事情上面。
Producing real followers of Jesus.
也就是能真正能够栽培出真正跟随耶稣基督的人吗？
It seems we have done a great job of building churches.
看起来我们都很成功，建立很大的教堂。
Building buildings.
我们建有很多的建筑物。
Having gatherings.
或者我们有很多的聚会。
Events, programs.
有很多的这些节目。
But we have failed in actually making real disciples of Jesus.
但是对于我们真正能够产生耶稣真正的门徒这件事情上，我们失败了。
We have created what I would call churchianity and produced churchmen.
所以我们真正所产生出来的是什么？是所谓教堂的信仰，或者说是所产生出来的是一些去教会的人而已。
People who are good at organization, finance, programs, but weak in actually following Jesus.
我们可以有很多很成功，包括我们的这些经济方面建立教堂方面，但是呢却没有真正产生一个跟随耶稣的人。
Okay, that's my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong, but it is my experience as being part of the church.
这是我个人的想法，也是我个人的经验。我好希望我的想法是错的。
I'm not sure that what we have done as the church is what Jesus had in mind.
所以今天很多时候，我们作为一个教会，我们所做的是否是耶稣本来的意思吗？
So I'd like to look today at how we're supposed to make disciples.
所以这边我们要思想什么才是真正的是去使人做门徒。
What does the Bible teach about making disciples?
耶稣圣经教导关于使人做门徒是怎么说的？
And this may not be new to you, so please just consider it a reminder.
这些东西可能对你们来说不是新的，那你就把它当作是一个提醒。
First of all, let's look at how Jesus did it.
第一方面，我们先看耶稣他怎么做。
In a world where bigger is usually associated with better, it seems that Jesus might be considered a failure by today's standards.
在今天的这个社会来看呢，这个你的这个大的话就是成功。如果是这样来衡量的话，耶稣应该算是一个失败的人。
After all, the Lord spent most of his time with only 12 disciples.
因为耶稣大部分时间就是和十二个门徒在一起。
One of whom betrayed him.
并且其中一个还出卖了他。
However, Jesus knew that by concentrating on 12 disciples, he would leave this world, but he would leave behind a legacy.
虽然耶稣他在这个世上只有栽培所谓十二个门徒，但是更主要的，他离开这个世界的时候，他有留下很美好的传承。
So let me give you eight elements of Christ's disciple-making strategy.
所以让我跟你们分享耶稣他八方面的这个栽培门徒的策略。
First of all, Jesus concentrated on teaching, training, and developing 12 disciples into church leaders.
第一，耶稣呢，就是把焦点放在这十二个门徒上面，来教导训练他们。
By putting quality ahead of quantity, the Lord set a pattern for how godly teachers are to be developed.
所以耶稣所看重的是质过于这个量。
There can be no shortcuts to developing leaders for the church.
今天我们要栽培所谓教会的领袖，没有所谓捷径。
Gospel writer Mark writes this, He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons.
马可是这样记载的，他让这十二个门徒常跟他们同在，训练他们好，让他们可以出去传福音，甚至可以驱赶这些污鬼。
The Lord selects those that he wants.
所以主是选择他所要的。
No person can presume to be a leader of God's people by their own volition.
没有一个人能够说是因着他自愿或者他想要做主的门徒，他可以做这个教会的领袖。
Secondly,
第二方面，
Jesus concentrated on 12 because he wanted future leaders to give their entire attention to building well-rounded godly characters.
耶稣为什么只选择十二个门徒？他就是希望我们将来我们培养领袖或者这些门徒，也都是要培养全方位的一个门徒。
It is a myth that godliness can be manufactured through large theological factory-like settings.
所以今天我们主要不是说啊，我们好像工厂可以多产一些神学的很棒的人。
My apologies to the faculty.
对不起各位老师。
Even Paul commended Timothy for learning lessons of godliness when he wrote in 2 Timothy 3, You know all about my teaching, conduct, purpose, patience, love, persecutions, sufferings, and perseverance.
所以保罗在教导提摩太的时候也是一样，在提摩太后书三章十节，你都知道我所教导你的，这些都是有关于培养他成为一个爱神的人，或者向神的敬畏神的人。
Real training happens in the context of a total life experience.
所以我们的所谓真正的这个培训是一个人整体的这个生命的体验。
Number three,
第三方面，
Jesus employed all of his thoughts, emotions, and efforts to assure that the apostles would replicate his life and thinking into the body of believers.
耶稣呢，使用这十二个门徒，也就是他，耶稣把他的全人投入在这十个门徒身上，也希望他们能够把这个榜样，能够在将来的教会的当中能够再复制。
If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47.
所以我们可以打开《使徒行传》第二章四十二节。
It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and the apostles did many wonders and miraculous signs. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts.They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
使徒行传二章四十一节开始，于是领受他话的人都受了洗。那一天，门徒的添了三千人，都恒心遵守使徒的教训，彼此交接掰饼，祈祷。
That seemed a lot shorter than what I read.
Yes. Oh, you want to read? Okay. All right. Okay. 众人都惧怕，使徒又行了许多奇事神迹，信的人都在一起，凡物公用，并且卖了田产家业，照个人所需用的分给个人。他们天天同心合意，恒切地在店里，且在家中掰饼，存着欢喜、诚实的心用饭，赞美神。得众民的喜爱，主将得救的人数天天加给他们。
That seemed a lot longer than I read. The apostles knew no other way but concentrated ministry that sprang from a total commitment to the Lord in all dimensions of life.
所以这些十二个门徒，他们只知道主所给他们的这种培训，就是要专心一意的，并且要完全的委身给主。
Number four.
第四
Jesus focused his objectives on 12 apostles who would teach through their examples.
第四方面，耶稣他的目标也是希望这十二个门徒是借着自己的榜样来教导人。
Many people were amazed at the transformation in the lives of 12 ordinary men.
所以很多人看到这十二个门徒，他们都很惊讶，他们的生命是如何的改变。
We've already commented on Acts 4:13, where Peter and John were bold because they, quote, had been with Jesus.
像刚才第四章《使徒行传》第四章，我们看到彼得跟约翰，他们很大胆，是因为他们常与基督同在。
We become a lot like the people we spend most of our time and mental energies on. We become like.
通常时候我们会像那些我们常常跟他们在一起的人。
Number five.
第五
Jesus condensed many of his most complicated teaching to simple statements that could be transmitted through the non-formally educated disciples.
耶稣常常把他的教导浓缩为简单的言辞，让人可以易懂的这些道理，是这些没有受过真正教育的人也可以明白。
In John 8:31 and 32, he said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples."
所以在约翰福音第八章，耶稣说，如果你真的遵守我的教训，就真是我的门徒了。
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
这样你们就会知道真理，真理也叫你们得自由。
By concentrating much of his teaching in a few statements, the disciples could easily retain, reinforce, and reproduce.What they had learned.
所以这些门徒听耶稣这很简单几句话的教导，就容易吸收，容易记得，也容易传达、传递。
Number six.
第六。
Jesus used local settings to keep his teaching contextualized.
耶稣也使用他当时的这个情景，好让他可以说很本色化的来向他们传讲。
The Lord never traveled more than 75 miles from the place of his birth.
所以我们的主耶稣他走过的地方不会超过离他家乡75英里。
And by using local people with local illustrations and local situations, the Lord was able to provide a rich context that was easily reproducible.
所以如果我们传福音栽培门徒的时候，我们用本地的人，用本地的一些比喻，用一些本地的状况，我们就可以更快的能够让人可以明白。
Number seven.
第七。
Jesus aimed at particular people who were most apt to respond to his message and have a life-changing experience.
耶稣呢也是针对一些他们愿意回应他的教导，他以至于他们的生命能够有改变。
While the world is looking for better methods, Jesus was looking for better people.
这个世界是寻找更好的方法，但是耶稣是寻找更好的人。
So pray and ask the Lord for wisdom in selecting a few disciples to train for godliness.
所以我们要祷告求主，让我们能够选择，也许不多，但是是那些愿意成为一个敬畏神的人。
Number eight.
第八。
Jesus distilled the grains of truth from volumes of knowledge so everyone could read and study his life and teachings.
耶稣呢，从这个无限的这些知识的当中，让他能够浓缩，成为每一个人都可以明白、可以研究的他这些教导。
In God's providential wisdom, the life and ministry of Christ is recorded in the New Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
在神自己的计划下面，我们在四福音的当中都可以知道耶稣基督的教导。
And yet the Bible says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge."
经也同样说，在基督里面隐藏了一切所有的智慧和奥秘。
So we should keep.We should follow Christ's example in keeping our teaching straightforward, principled, and consistent with our Master's example.
所以我们要学习耶稣的榜样，我们教导的时候可以说很简单、很直接，并且是有原则，并且是有一致性。
Let's look at how Paul did it.
另外一方面，我们也看一下保罗他怎么做。
First of all, Paul made friends.
第一，我们看到保罗他有交很多的朋友。
Acts 18:1-4.
所以使徒行传第十八章一到四节。
After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them.So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks.
使徒行传十八章前面四节，这事以后，保罗离了雅典，来到哥林多，遇见一个犹太人名叫亚基拉，他生在本都，因为格劳丢命犹太人都离开罗马。新近带着他的妻子百基拉从意大利来， 保罗就投奔了他们。他们本是制造帐篷为业，保罗因与他们同业，就和他们的和他们同住做工。每逢安息日，保罗在会堂里辩论劝化犹太人和希利尼人。
Paul found a promising couple and began to pour himself into them.
保罗发现这一对非常有潜力的夫妇，也把他的生命投资在他们身上。
And Priscilla and Aquila, Paul looked for ways to spend time with them.
所以亚基拉和百基拉，保罗用很多的时间跟他们在一起。
Paul lived and worked with them.
保罗跟他们一起生活，一起工作。
Paul was a tent maker by trade, and so were Priscilla and Aquila.
保罗是一个制帐篷的，这对夫妇也是制帐篷的。
They spent their days making tents to support themselves, and no doubt Paul had a lot of time to teach and train them.
所以啊，一周的里面，他们都经常在一起做同样的职业，他们应该有很多时间在一起。
While they sewed their tents, Paul was pouring himself into them.
虽然他们是在制帐篷，但是就在制帐篷当中，保罗把他的生命都投在他们的身上。
Luke also says that Paul stayed with Priscilla and Aquila.
圣经也说保罗和这对夫妇住在一起。
Not only did Paul spend the working hours with them, but he also spent the nights with them as well.
所以保罗不是白天工作的时间在跟他们在一起，晚上也跟他们在一起。
So Paul spent all day and all night with these people.
我们可以说保罗是日夜都跟这对夫妇在一起。
And Paul knew that he could not disciple the whole world, but he could disciple this couple and then turn them loose to disciple others.
保罗知道他自己本人不可能使所有的人都成为门徒，但是他可以栽培这一对的门徒，这对夫妇，好让他们也可以去栽培其他的人。
Do you see how effective this is?
你可以看到这是多么有效的方法吗？
Paul was committed to discipling people as he was getting them saved.
所以除了说带领人信主，保罗也栽培他们成为门徒。
So Paul was not ignoring the rest of the Great Commission.
因为保罗没有忽略这个大使命后面的那一部分。
And of course, we don't live in a world that lends itself to spending the entire day and night with people.
当然，今天我们的这个生活方式，有些时候不可能我们和一个人日夜都在一起。
But we must find people that we can share with.
但是我们要找一些我们可以跟他们分享生命的人。
We must find people that we can pour ourselves into.
我们要找一些人，我们可以把我们的全人都投在他们的身上。
We must find people that we can disciple.
我们要找一些可以成为耶稣基督门徒的人。
And therefore we must find things that we have in common with them and get involved with them so that we can disciple.
因此我们要找我们跟他们可以认同的一些处境，好让我们可以跟他们在一起。
We might have jobs that allow us to spend time with them.
也许是我们的职业让我们可以跟他们常常在一起。
We might have hobbies we can do together.
或者我们有相同的兴趣，我们可以常聚在一起。
We might have leisure activities in common.
甚至于我们悠闲的时间是相同的，可以在一起。
We might enjoy the same types of entertainment.
或者说我们有同样的娱乐方式。
But whatever it is, we need to look for people to disciple and then look for ways to spend time together.
无论从哪一个角度，我们要寻找我们可以去栽培的人。
So the question is, who do you know?That God would like for you to disciple.
所以主要的问题是说，你知道哪一个人是神要栽培成为门徒的吗？
The first step, of course, is to pray and ask God to show you who you could disciple.
第一步我们要祷告，求神指示我们要去栽培哪些人。
And secondly, after God has led you to someone, you need to pray and ask God to show you how you can spend time with them.
第二方面，当我们知道神要你栽培谁的时候，也求神。让你知道如何来栽培他。
So who among your family, your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors would God have you disciple?
所以在你的家庭当中，你的朋友或者你的同事，是神要栽培的人呢？
Another disciple that Paul trained was Timothy.
保罗所栽培的人另外一位就是提摩太。
And I would just refer you to look, maybe not now, 2 Timothy 3.10-11.
所以请大家自己在有时间的时候看提摩太后书第三章。
十节到十一节。 We don't have time to look at this in depth, but if you look at that, you'll notice all the areas of Paul's life that he instructed Timothy in.
但是如果我们自己读这段圣经的时候，我们会发现保罗是在生命的每一个层面都投在提摩太的身上。
And if you look at the way that Paul discipled Priscilla and Aquila and Timothy, you will see that it was clearly an in-depth course.
当我们观察保罗对亚基拉、百基拉还有提摩太的培训的时候，我们会发现他们是很深入的。
In the midst of their training, they saw up close and personal all the opposition and abuse that Paul was suffering.
在这个培训的当中，这三个人他们也都能够亲身经历或者看到保罗他所受的这些苦难。
But even in that suffering, Paul, the Lord told Paul to continue to speak out and to not keep silent.
但是保罗在这个困难的当中，他还是继续的传讲，没有停止下来。
The Lord told Paul not to be afraid to continue speaking.
神也对保罗说，不要惧怕，要继续的传扬。
And Christ tells us the same thing. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking.
基督也对我们每个人同样的说，不要惧怕，要继续的传讲。
And why?
为什么呢？
Because he says, I am with you.
因为他对我们应许的说，我与你们同在。
And this is important because we don't accomplish anything on our own.
这非常重要，因为我们没有任何一个人是凭着自己靠着自己来完成任何的任务。
Our own strength, our own wisdom, our own design.
我们自己的能力、智慧或者我们的方法。
We succeed only as the Lord works through us.
我们能够成功，只能够借着主在我们里面动工。
He's the one who makes it happen.
是他使这些事情完成。
And Christ assures us the same thing in the last part of the Great Commission, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end.
耶稣基督的大使命的那最后的一个层面，你们要教导他们遵守我所吩咐你们的。看呢，确实我与你们同在，直到地极，世界的末了。
When we step out in faith, in understanding, in undertaking to do what Christ has commanded us, He has given us His word that He will always be with us, even to the very end.
如果我们能够踏出这信心的脚步，我们会看到主耶稣他的应许是他会与我们同在。
We need encouragement as we go.
当我们去的时候，我们需要鼓励。
Paul got a lot of encouragement.
保罗在这边也常常鼓励人。
John got encouragement.
约翰他也会鼓励人。
In 3 John chapter 4, 3 John 4, John wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
在约翰三书第四节是这样说，没有喜乐比这个更大的，就是当我看到我的孩子们，他们是在真理里面行走。
John there is writing to his dear friend Gaius, because some people had come to tell John about Gaius's faithfulness, and that he continued to walk in the truth.
有人告诉约翰有关于该犹这个弟兄，他也是在他很忠心的来跟随主，所以保罗在这边，约翰也写信鼓励他。
This is perhaps the greatest encouragement that any disciple maker will ever receive.
我想这个也是一个门徒可以得到的最大的鼓励。
When we pour ourselves into people and they stay the course, it brings great joy.
如果我们把我们的全力投资在一个人身上，而这个人他能够持续到底，这是我们最大的喜乐。
And I'm sure the Apostle Paul had no greater joy than to hear the news about Priscilla and Aquila.
我相信保罗最大喜乐也能够听到亚基拉跟百基拉他们的好的这个消息。
Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 26.
使徒行传第十八章。
Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. This, by the way, is where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila, having completed their discipleship training.
这段经文就讲到保罗已经完成对这对夫妇的栽培，他就离开了。
Okay, Apollos. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately.
有一个犹太人名叫亚波罗，来到以弗所，他生在亚历山大，是有学问的，是能讲解圣经。这人已经在主的道上受了教训，心里火热，将耶稣的事详细讲论教训人。只是他胆小的约翰的洗礼，他在会堂里放胆讲道，百基拉阿基拉听见就接他来，将神的道给他讲解更加详细。
Aquila and Priscilla had been so thoroughly trained that they could tell when someone was in error scripturally.
亚基兰跟百基拉因为他们有完全的学习或者这个装备，因此呢，他们可以知道对方到底他所讲的是对还是不对。
Even when he was a preacher.
就是那个人已经是在讲道的人，像阿波罗一样。
Even when he had a thorough knowledge of scripture.
甚至于我们可以说阿波罗他是对圣经非常的熟悉。
Even when he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately.
虽然他也能够很好的有能放胆的传讲关于耶稣的事。
Aquila and Priscilla were so thoroughly trained that not only could they tell when someone was in error, they could take them home and explain their error tactfully and in a way that was palatable and not offensive.
我们看亚基拉跟百基拉，不单单是因为他们有全方位的这个培训，因此他们不但知道说这个传讲的人讲的对不对，他们还可以接待他到自己的家里，并且用非常合适的方式来跟他沟通。
The rest of this chapter tells how Apollos benefited as a result of the help he got from Aquila.
这章结束的时候，我们看到阿波罗他从这对夫妇如何得到很好的栽培。
And I'm sure that all this brought great joy to the Apostle Paul.
我相信这一切的发生也让保罗可以非常的喜乐。
All of these people who were brought to Christ as a result of the ministry of Apollos were benefited indirectly because of the work that Paul had done with Aquila and Priscilla.
所以我们也可以说，阿波罗以后他所做的工作，他带领很多人信主、栽培他们，这些也都是因为保罗他直接、间接的带来的后果，工作带来的后果。
There's no greater joy than to see results from our efforts at disciple making.
没有一个喜乐比这个更大的，也就是当我们看到我们所付出的带来了美好的果子。
So what we're actually talking about here is discipling disciple makers.
所以这边我们所说的其实是在栽培那些可以栽培别人作为门徒的。
Here's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2.
所以提摩太后书二章二节说，
And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others.
你在我面前所领受的这些教导，你也要传承给那些善于教导别人的人。
In other words, we aren't simply talking about addition to the kingdom.
所以这边我们所说的不仅仅是说一个加号的增长。
We're talking about multiplication.
在这边我们是在讲乘法的增长。
You teach one,
你教导一个人
and then you teach another, and that one you taught first, they teach another.
所以我们教导一个人，那个人又去教导另外一个人，他又去教导另外一个人。
And then you teach another, and each of those three teach another.
所以你再去找另外一个人来培养他们，这三个人又去教导别人。
And on and on. Do you see? Do you understand the theory of multiplication?
所以在这边我们看到所谓倍增这个原则。
Now I, like the Apostle Paul, know that if the kingdom is going to grow in significant ways, we must all join in the urgent task that Christ has given us.
正如保罗所说的，如果我们希望看到上帝的国度能够继续的增长，我们每个人都是要投入的。
So I would refer you again to our text without reading it, Matthew 28:19-20, you know it by heart.
你们都知道这个马太福音的大使命，都会背了，我不要再重复的读。
At a Christian conference years ago, the speaker was emphasizing how vital the 12 disciples were to Jesus' mission.
在一次的这个一个夏令会的当中，有一个讲员，他正在强调耶稣在这十二个门徒身上所做的事工是如何的重要。
And he told this story.
他就讲了一个故事。
And it is just a story.
只是一个故事。
He said, when Jesus returned to heaven after his ascension, there was great excitement among the angels.
就讲到耶稣当他升天回到天堂的时候，这些天使都非常的兴奋。
One of the angels asked the returned Son of God, what plan do you have to continue the work you began on earth?
有一个天使就问耶稣说，你有什么留下什么计划在这个世上呢？
Without hesitation, Jesus answered, I left it in the hands of the apostles.
耶稣毫无质疑地随时回答说，我已经留在这十二个门徒的手中。
Another angel asked, what if they fail?
另外一个天使问，如果这十二个门徒失败了怎么办呢？
And again there was no hesitation. Jesus said, I have no other plan.
耶稣也是毫无质疑地说，我没有任何其他的计划。
Now,Again, this is only a story.
当然这只是一个故事。
But the point of this is the future of Christianity, humanly speaking, rose or fell on the ministry of these men.
换句话说，从人的角度来说，基督教的这个将来的成败，其实都决定在这十二个人的手上。
So we too are called to, as we go, make disciples.
所以同样的，我们也被呼召，当我们出去的时候，我们要使人做门徒。
And when we go and make disciples, we are to baptize them and to teach them to obey everything Christ has commanded us.
当我们要使他们做门徒的时候，我们要为他们施洗，也要教训他们遵行耶稣所吩咐我们的一切。
And we must never forget the promise that Jesus has said he will always be with us when we step out in faith in this great adventure of disciple making.
当我们带着信心的步伐走出去这个伟大的工作的时候，我们永远不要忘记耶稣给我们的这个应许，我与你们同在。
So here are the questions for you today.
所以这些是我今天要留给大家的思想的问题。
Who is it God has called you to disciple? Who is it God has called you to disciple?
对，今天上帝呼召你去培训什么人做门徒呢？
Do you know who they are?
你知道他们是谁吗？
Have you prayed about who they are?
你有为他们祷告吗？
Have you prayed about how you're going to spend time with them?
你有没有祷告要知道如何来培养他们吗？
Have you prayed about the changes you're going to have to make in your life in order to be a true disciple maker?
你同样有没有求神要调整，要改变你的生命，好叫你也可以去栽培这个门徒吗？
What are the next steps you need to make?
前面的步伐你需要怎么做呢？
I'm over time.
我已经超过时间了。
Amen.
Amen. 没有问题。
We really praise God and thank Reverend Charlie for the inspiring message. We thank you very much. 学生会有报告吗？ The student body had announcement? No? I think tomorrow